702 on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on the Prime Media Plus app.
And on DStv channel 856.
Seven minutes after 9 o'clock. Good morning and welcome to it. You're on 702. My name is Thabo. Shole Mashao in for Madimecha Clement. He's not here and we're together till 12 midday. I'm excited to be in your company and I look forward to your calls. Quite a lot to discuss, from what Thabongani has already set the cue for some of the things that we'd like to talk about. I want to hear from you. Your views are the most important, especially on the open line, because as you've read the papers, listened to us and watched the screens, I'm sure you've got heated opinions on what's happening in the country. And one of those issues from 9 to 12, well, it's an open line. It's my suggestion and my contribution. I'd love to hear yours. But we were reading in the Sunday Times and the City Press in this instance, about corruption, and they were writing this on the backdrop of a report from Corruption Watch. It was written by Sipho Mabena, and they were explaining how Gauteng is the capital of corruption in South Africa. And I thought, let me ask you, as someone who is in this province and beyond, how often do you get to interact with corruption? How often do you encounter corruption in your life, your workspace, your social life? And do you bribe a Metro Police official, or are you putting right now a tender document together and you've given someone a bit of 10,000 rands nyana on the side to make sure that they receive it and they give it some attention? And do you report corruption? How easy is it to report corruption, as Gauteng has been dubbed the capital of corruption? 011-883-0702.
For more about 702,
go to primemediaplus.com.
And obviously a couple of other issues that we'll be looking into between 10 and 11. We are paying a specific focus on the teacher shortage in South Africa. The budget cuts will affect the teacher bursary scheme. And we were sitting at about 52,000 odd from 2017 or so to now. But it looks like we are not going to reach our 2030 target of making sure that there's no shortage of teachers in South Africa. There is a serious budget cut, and we will speak to Basil Manuel, Hendrik Makaneta, and Professor Lebi Ramrathan a little bit later on the show between 10 and 11. Perhaps you're a teacher and you're struggling to pay for your fees, or you want to become a teacher and the bursary scheme is not as viable as it used to be. What are some of the options that you have and what can be done? We do need teachers. We do need teachers. This is one profession that produces all other professions, and we often underplay it. I remember as a young journalist many years ago, well, not so many years ago, because I'm not that old. I don't want to sound old. Well, some time ago, actually just after Naledi Pandor was appointed Minister of Education, I think it was from Kara Asmal at the time, and I was covering all some issues on education at that point, and she said something very profound, and she said she wished that teachers would get salaries that are worth the profession. And we don't give teachers enough respect, I think. And we need to do that. So between 10 and 11, please give us a shout on that particular issue. 11 to 12 on family matters, overcoming eating disorder and its effect on your mental health. Eating and mental health. The bridge is very wide between the two. And what can we do? Some people eat because there are some serious mental health issues, and maybe you are one of those and you got some help. What did you do to overcome that? And maybe you are still in that situation. We'll have experts to kind of help us. Dr. Dumi Mashego, clinical and sports psychologist, will assist us through that. But for now, it's an open line, 072-702-1702. That's where you can send your voice notes and your text messages to on all issues that you'd like us to discuss. It is an open line. I am a little bit hesitant often as as much as I know that it is the tradition of the show to proffer my own suggestions about the open line, because I really love it when you set the tone, when you say, this is what's important for me this week, this is what I picked up. But some of the things I hear in Soweto, there's a huge strike, taxi strike there. Maybe you are in Soweto, you want to give us a call, feel free to do that. Over this past week, well, on Saturday to be specific, I went to a friend's child's birthday party. And it was a little celebration, not too much, but as usual, you would have adults dominating in a child's birthday party. And it was time for us to dish up after the kids had had their little hot dogs and everything else. It was time for the adults to dish up for themselves a beautiful meal. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And why am I telling you about this? Because I got so irritated. There were some people in the queue who then decided to grab containers and have some takeaways. Well, the correct lexicon for this is scuffing. People would want to have grab takeaways to take scuffing, as opposed to eating there. When there's a party, a function, an event, the intention is for you to enjoy the food and the drinks at the venue. Why are you grabbing takeaways? Why? This happens more often than not. I've hosted friends a couple of times at home. I've never said this to them. They'll hear it for the first time now, I suppose. And you'd see at the end, some people want to grab takeaways. You're like, yeah, man. Although I don't say it because I don't want to be a bad person. But I'm thinking, why do you want to have takeaways? Isn't that rude? Are you not being a bad guest when you're doing that? Grabbing food and taking it home, which was meant for the food meant for the party, for an event. Well, you tell me what you think. Maybe I'm overthinking things. 011-883-0702. But on a more serious note, Gauteng is the capital of corruption. And one of the key leading factors of corruption in this province is fraud, bribery and extortion, maladministration, abuse of power, and the one that we thought would be number one, procurement irregularities. So this is standing at 18%. That's fraud in Gauteng. And the second province is KwaZulu-Natal. Free State coming in at third and Western Cape at fourth. Mpumalanga number five. At the very last, you'd have Northern Cape at number nine, being the least corrupt province. I suppose it makes sense as Gauteng that we are number one. We are the hive of activity. We are the economic hub of the country, and some would even argue the continent, but that's a debate for another day. And I thought, have you ever encountered corruption? What sort of corruption did you come across? What did you do? Did a Metro Police official ask you for a cold drink? Did they ask you for some bit of cash? And are you in the tender business and you know someone in procurement, and every now and then you must make sure that you buy them tires for their vehicle, or you take them out, or you give them a brown envelope? And I'm asking this deliberately because I know no one is going to call and say that I'm corrupt. And that's very deliberate. I know no one is going to say that. No one is going to say, I have given a traffic officer money. I have given someone cash to get a job. No one is going to say that. But we are being hypocrites when we do that, because we are the ones who are complaining about corruption. We are the first ones to point fingers at the government and say how corrupt they are. Whenever we see this politician, we say, yeah, they are corrupt. Last week, all of us, myself included, we were pointing fingers at the alleged corruption. And I say alleged corruption of the former Speaker of Parliament, Nosiviyo Mapisa Nqakula. All of us had an opinion about that. But when it pertains to our private lives, troop still, we are quiet as church mice, simply because we know that we are actively involved, but it's always best when it's someone else. So that's why I wanted to ask you, if we are the hub of corruption in Gauteng, you must have encountered it. Did you report it? Did you tell anyone about it? Let's hear from you about this, because all of us, well, we all pretend to be against corruption, don't we? So let's really take it in a personal level and forget the politicians for a little while and look at our own lives. And a lot of people don't realize that our complicity in this, we are complicit in this simply because We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to raise it. It's only convenient for us to be anti-corruptionists when it affects other people, when we are not benefiting. But as soon as we become beneficiaries, we look the other way. 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Did you hear John Steenhuisen over the weekend? He was on a campaigning trail and saying all the nice things about the Blue Party, this, that, and the other. And for some reason, he started pointing out at parties like the PA and others and accusing them of wanting to fish votes from the Western Cape. As if the Western Cape is his backyard. As if he's got a monopoly and a patent to be the only party, to be the only leader who gets to mobilize the votes in the Western Cape. As if he owns the Western Cape. I thought that's a very sophisticated way of being territorial. Whenever it happens in KwaZulu-Natal, we are vocal about it. Now, John Steenhuisen, he's saying, what are you doing in my backyard?
Why are they coming here to the only government that arrested through its LEAP program over 27,000 criminals in the last year? Why are they coming here to an economy that's working, with schools that work, that give opportunities for more people, with public transport systems that work? Why here? Why aren't they focusing their attention on the real enemy of progress in South Africa, which is the ANC? And I've thought about this, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. It's because they know that there's nothing left to loot in the other eight provinces. Alles is opgeheerd. Das net geld hier in die Weskaap.
Well, John, they're going there because it's part of South Africa and we are having South African national and provincial elections. So as far as I remember, any party can campaign and should campaign wherever they want to within the confines of South Africa. That's mainly why. And please stop creating this impression that you own the Western Cape. And in the earlier parts of that clip, by the way, he says, why don't you go to Limpopo and elsewhere? But it also shows you what he's quietly saying is that we are not bothered with any other province. We are just bothered with the Western Cape. That's the true hidden meaning of all of this. 011-883-0702. Let's go straight to Madimecha in Sandton. Madimecha, hi.
Hey, Kibuzinza.
Hey, Shapuzit.
Hey, Shapuzit.
I thought you are the Madimecha who's not at work today, Clement. What's up? No. What's on your mind, brother?
No, yeah. I wanted to... Okay, Erke Tomekata was captain,
innit? Yeah.
I think it's dependent. It's very dependent on the occasion and the size of the event of the day. Because you do get hosts, especially if it's big events such as weddings and that do offer that you should take a scarf tea. Because a lot of time the food is too much and then it eventually goes to waste, so by the latch afterwards.
Yeah, but you're doing it very early in the day before it even gets late, Madimecha, because later on, if we're dishing up at about 2 and 3 o'clock, we might be there till late at night, till 11 at night. So why don't you allow us to have some snacks and to have options of what we want to have? It could be that we get hungry again 4 hours later, but Lona, you're just doing it right now. And just, I don't you think it's a little bit too much?
Yeah, no. I have to agree with you there. If it's early, then I don't think anyone has a right to do that. Allow people to pull, allow people to depart, and then
yes,
okay. Yeah.
Anyway,
sure. I wanted to talk about a corruption. Eh?
Yeah.
Personally, I have encountered an instance. I had had. One, two, and three drinks, and then it was with a TMPD official.
Mm.
So they threatened to arrest me, of course, and then with the option of
to negotiate it, yeah.
Yeah. so it's you coughing out something from your pocket.
Yeah.
But that's the only time, you know, when I've personally been involved in that. Normally, whenever I find myself in a situation, let's say I'm over speeding or something, and then they ask for that
cold drink.
Yeah. So I don't make it clear that I'm not willing to pop it out, but I just come up with excuses and just say, it's that time of the month.
Okay.
Next time.
Yeah, but when tell me then, Madi Mecha, what's your impression of politicians who are corrupt?
Yeah, ne. The thing is, with politicians, ne.
Yeah.
Their corruption. I say, really more. I mean, I'm not saying or me giving that clipper to that TMPG official is okay. It's not okay, but. The impact of that versus a minister
Who's taking of 4 million rands.
Who takes 4 million exactly.
Mm. No, Madi Mecha, I think it's a principle. It's the principle behind it that you're willing to trade what is ethically correct with a monetary transaction. But I think that's the principle still remains the same. But thanks for your input. 011-883-0702. Mark in Centurion. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Thabo. Actually, I was talking about corruption because I get it basically on a daily basis when I'm pulled over by the cops and so on because they all ask for money. But you actually just pointed out what's really wrong in this country. It's the principle of the matter, and people actually don't understand the principle. Now, whether I steal 10 rand or I steal 1 million rand, the principle is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And some people say, what's the point of going to a red robot? Nobody's coming. You know, if you're driving to the red robot today, people say nobody's coming, but you drive to the robot tomorrow because there are cars left, right, and center, and you cause an accident. You know, whatever is wrong is wrong. People must understand whatever is wrong and not, it's okay when you break it a little, but it's not okay when you break it a lot. I
mean, yeah.
That's the one thing.
And it's the principle, right, Mark?
And then and then also the second thing you were talking about, John Skinner.
Yeah.
You know, while I appreciate what you're trying to say about, who is he, but I mean, obviously he's a politician he wants to guard against. And to a certain degree, I've got to agree with him there. You know, the Western Cape is the only province where they have a positive cash flow, where they've got money in the bank, where they're creating jobs, where overseas companies are actually actively investing billions of rands into the Western Cape economy, which is not happening, which doesn't seem to be happening in the rest of the country. So, and we know the parties like the Al Jamaa and the AIC and Patriotic Alliance hoping to get 1 or 2 or 3%. So ultimately they can go to the highest bidder, and Jake McKenzie is well known for that. He said, look, I'll go into a coalition with you in return for what do I get? How many positions do I get?
So, Mark,
what future minister can I get and so on?
Yeah, Mark, whilst I will protect completely your right to have a different opinion on this, and I have to disabuse you of one little notion that's not just in the Western Cape where jobs are created. It's not the only province that is statistically wrong, and there are other provinces, including Gauteng, where jobs are created, where there is an investment from outside the country. The sentiment of what you're trying to say is not lost to me at all, but I have to mention that's not on the exclusive preserve of the Western Cape, where there is cash flow, where there is where there are some initiatives to create jobs and stimulating the economy local, that happens. But coming back to the real point, though, is that I am worried that if we let this thing go of John Steenhuisen, sophisticated as it might sound to an ordinary person, the real message is drawing boundaries around who can campaign where. And if we are all lovers of democracy, that's the first thing that we should speak about. Every single party or independent candidate has got a full right and must be protected to campaign wherever they want to go, be it they have a different ideological outlook, physical appearance, religious background. Leave it to the voters. Let the voters punish them. It's not for you to say, don't come and campaign here. Last bite, Mike, Mark, and I'll say goodbye.
Yeah, Thabo, you're 100% right. I think you're looking at a little bit too black and white. I mean, John Steyn is a very good politician. He's obviously going to say things that might rile some people up. It's the same time when Ramaphosa, stands up, he's the only party that can liberate South Africa. It's the only party that can grow. It's the only party that will be this. It's the only party that can do that, and everybody else must just not vote. And it's the same thing. I don't see the media pulling him up because there are many other parties, okay? They can do certain...
And Mark, that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing at all. You see, he's marketing his party. He's not prohibiting anyone else from doing the same. And that can't be the same. But Mark, thanks for your call. Please stay tuned. 011-883-0702. Dr. Confidence, morning. You're in Bedford View.
Morning, listeners, and morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'll try and be very short. I think that the statement that Steyn Huisen is making is more than an election statement. It has exposed the fact that Steyn Huisen also subscribed to this idea that every one of us who's in South Africa, if we want to get into the Western Cape, we are immigrants. You remember the Eastern Cape kind of a situation? His statement really makes me think that we have reached a point where the politicians must be told that as apartheid was a crime and remains a crime against humanity, maybe there must be a formal declaration thereof in the legislatures, in the provincial governments, and also in the national governments. And secondly, that we must all commit to a united South Africa. I find the statements that John Steyn is making to be contrary to what is contained in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, and also the substance of what is in the Freedom Charter, and also what is in the political line of the African National Congress, which is a united, non-racial, non-separate, democratic, and prosperous South Africa.
Dr. Confidence, there we say also in the electoral code. I'm just wondering, I mean, I haven't checked very closely, but I'm just wondering if the IEC shouldn't come in here, because, you see, we often are very quick to take people on when they are robustly saying things and they appear to be set from certain background. But I think Steyn Huisen might just have a case to answer to the Electoral Commission. But what do I know? You tell me. 011-883-0702. I see that you've been sending some voice notes. We'll play them shortly on 072-702-1702. Please keep those coming through. Do remember that we are also on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Radio 702. Send some messages there to that handle as well. Mine is at @IamFreeTSM.
Let's walk the talk.
702.
702, 26 minutes to 10 o'clock. Welcome back. 011-883-0702. I know many of you have been holding for quite some time. Let's go straight to Moshere without any waste of time. Moshere, good morning.
Yes, Thabo, how are you this morning?
I am free. Thank you for asking. How are you?
All right, man. Thabo, look. Thabo, of course, we agree. ANC has created a lot of damage to the country. And also, if you look at number of things are not working. But if you continue to listen to the DA leaders, it's not for the first time what Steyn Huisen has said. Number of prominent DA figures have said that Western Cape must be independent of South Africa, of which is a statement that Thabo is disturbing. Look, if they manage to, let's say, for example, they manage to get a two-third majority, what will they do? Wouldn't they bring us back to the... Thabo has been talking about the issue of apartheid. This is a potential situation where they can change things. Why we don't want that? Why are they not really being cautious about the statement that they attend? Also, putting a lot of pressure to put some of the potential voters, those who can be thinking of voting for the DA, but whatever they get the platform to address South African citizens, they continue to divide us, and they refuse to say that no, they want the united South Africa, of which their statement, Thabo, is not
You know,
it doesn't sit well.
Moshere, I want to challenge you a little bit on what you said, right? As much as I think that John Steenhuisen's comments are territorial and they go against some of the aspects of the electoral code and it shouldn't be encouraged, I, however, want you to link it very closely to apartheid, as you said, because I think the two are not similar and they are not related in any way. And whilst I can never ever be an apartheid apologist, but I just wanted us to separate apples from oranges in this instance, that you can also have someone who is anti-apartheid but territorial in their view as well.
Look, apartheid, certain group of people were not allowed to go to certain areas.
Yeah.
But if you listen to DA leaders who are saying, it's not like I'm saying it's not for the first time, where they say in Western Cape must be independent.
Yeah.
And if you're saying independent, what will stop them to prevent people from going if they continue to do this?
But he's not, calling for independence of Western Cape, right? He's saying
no,
parties like the PA, yes.
No, I heard him. I'm talking about these predecessors.
Sure, sure.
They've been talking about Western Cape being independent of South. If you can go and Google and you'll hear them, prominent leaders talking about independent of the Western Cape. What will stop them if they manage to get a two-third majority to say that in the Western Cape we don't need so and so to visit?
Well,
we're battling with the issue of corruption now.
We need to put that to the Western Cape. Well, the DA leader there, John Steenhuisen, directly, Moshere. But always fantastic talking to you. Really appreciate it. Obet, you are in Kempton. Hi.
Yes, Tavo, good morning. How are you?
I am free, good sir. How's it going with you?
Ah, so far so good. Thank you so much. Now, look, Tavo, regarding corruption, I don't make myself an angel. No, I'm not. But look, I believe we as individuals, if we can do our part, we have, you know, some powers in our hands to reduce the levels of corruption. I'll give you two scenarios. The first scenario, I was driving my car. It had just expired the disc, you know, over the grace period. Then the second scenario was when I was driving my son to school, there's a stop sign. You know, people, sometimes we take these things lightly. So I did not stop at the stop sign. I just passed. Immediately, there were some traffic cops. They stopped me. So now they said, oh, sir, look, you've just, you didn't stop at the stop sign. Would you actually accept a fine for 500 rands? Or maybe you can just give us anything that you have. I said, look here, guys, if I've broken the law, just give me the ticket. I'll have to go and pay it, because when you give me the ticket, I know it's very difficult to pay traffic fines. It will make me next time to obey all the roads, you know, laws, you know. So now what I'm trying to say, Tabo, is that actually corruption, it begins with us fighting it as individuals before we point at politicians. There is no grade and level of corruption where you can say, no, for politicians, too much, therefore it's wrong. For us, it's actually small, it's right. Corruption is corruption, period. That's the end of it, Tabo.
No, no, Obet, you are on the money completely. You are on the money. If we were to speak about a corrupt politician right now or an alleged corrupt politician who has taken money from elsewhere, a business person or whatever, I promise you, we would have a chock-a-block of calls. I promise you, every single person would have an opinion on this. Now we are putting a mirror in front of all of us to ask a very simple question. Have we encountered corruption in our own lives? Have we participated actively in encouraging corruption in our activities, personal or otherwise? And the answer is mostly yes, but we are not going to talk about it. It's easier when we are pointing a finger at someone else who's far away from us and pontificating and shouting and saying we can't afford this. But when it happens in our lives, I know of parents who would go out of their way to take kids to a certain school to a point of paying, to a point of lying about their residential address and everything else. And they don't see that as corruption. They don't. But come a politician, come an MP, member of parliament, MEC, minister, DG or municipal manager in the news, all of us have got a very strong opinion on how this corruption is killing us. And that's all that we're trying to do. putting a mirror in front of all of us. 011-883-0702. I have been neglecting your voice notes. Palisa, I think let's go to it. 072-702-1702.
Morning, Tabo. Hope you well, man. Tabo, if people don't call and say, hey, listen, I also took part in this unintentionally, so that will affirm that as South Africans, we are a country of corrupt people. Because I can tell you now, most of the people that would have probably gotten their driver's licenses from, let's say, 2010 coming this way, would have bribed an official from the license department for them to get a driver's license. Because it's the norm. It's known, it's there. Not so long ago, there were officials that were arrested all over the testing stations. But we know that from the driving schools, there's a bribe. There's a bribe to the official that's going to run the test when you go and test. So it's there. It's happening every day. So people must call and confess their sins.
Morning, Tabo. You know, I don't know whether I must say corruption is legal and transparent in Gauteng and South Africa as a whole. I could not believe my eyes when the driver, taxi driver, when he was stopped by the traffic cops and in full view of everybody, he took out the 100 rand and gave the police officers and drove off. Do you hear me?
Loud and clear.
In full view of everybody. Just like that. And on the one of his captain, yo, it's been a long thing. People are doing it and like they are doing it without being embarrassed about doing it. And I equal right, Sam. Thank you, Zama.
Hi, Tabo. It's Andile in Black and Downs. You know, speaking of reporting, I went to my local police station to report a scam that was happening. They said to me, no, they can't listen to me because no one has been scammed yet. So I asked them, so you're waiting for someone to be scammed, then you react? They said, yes. Lucky enough for me, there was a backroom lady that came. He listened to me, heard what I was complaining about, and then he just told them, no, you should direct this person to this office. And the lady took me, and then he directed me to the correct people. So it can be a challenge sometimes in the cop shop when you go there, there's no one to assist you.
Quite amazing. Tenderpreneurs, I see you're all quiet. Where are you? Let's talk about those tender documents. Let's talk about the brown envelopes. Let's talk about incentivizing the payment office to make that payment a little bit quicker than it would have been. Let's chat about that. Let's not be selective. Earlier on, if you're wondering what we're talking about, we're looking at the Corruption Watch report that came out and placed Gauteng at number one as the most corrupt province in the country. And they're saying some activities of corruption include fraud, bribery, extortion, maladministration, abuse of power, procurement, irregularities. And KZN is second. Third is Free State. Fourth, Western Cape. And right at the bottom is Northern Cape. Northwest at number eight, Limpopo at number six. And very interesting, with Limpopo at number six, the top activity, corruption actor, it's procurement irregularities. I would love to hear from you about this. And the other lady spoke about the issue of takeaways, scuffed-in, and we were saying earlier on, isn't it part of corruption to take scuffed-in? There's an event, there's a birthday party, a celebration, and you want to grab food as takeaways. You're going to dish up for your husband, put it, or your friend or whoever else at home, and put it in a container and take it away. Why? 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 What are people supposed to eat? Those who are still at a party. I just don't think that's fair. I really don't think that's fair. But what do I know? Let me hear from you. Morris, you're in Joburg South. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm free, Morris. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm not free.
Okay.
Yeah. There are you. You are free. Tabo, I just want to comment about the corruption when it comes to the road. Road users, sometimes we break the law or we bend the law. Sometimes you jump the red robot and the guys, the traffic cops, will find them hiding somewhere and they can see that. You understand? Either you're in a hurry for work or whatever reason, right? And then now when you are there, you are given two, once they stop you, you are given two options. They say, whether I give you a ticket that is worth 750, which is by jumping the red robot, or you just give me a cold drink, right? So now, the question is there now, who is corrupt now? Because now you are given two options. And obviously, you will think of saving 700 rand to give out 50 rand. You understand? So now, who is corrupt between the two there? Obviously, by giving out, that's a corruption. But it's been pushed by this same traffic officer.
Yeah, but let me answer your question, Maurice. Both of you are corrupt. There's a corruptor and a corruptee. So you can't push the responsibility only to the cop. Because if you refuse to pay, then you are not corrupt. It's the cop who is a corruptor, and you were not corrupted. So as a result, it can be you. So in this instance, your example says both of you are corrupt, just to answer your question.
Correct, yes. We are corrupt, both of us, right? But in this scenario now, whereby I understand one thing here. Who actually initiated to corrupt the other one? I think the law should actually take place in there also. You understand? Because you're the one who pushed me to be corrupt. Instead, you're supposed to say, you know what? Straightforward, you've broken the law. You jumped the red robot. Come, Baba, sign for the ticket. Simple and straight. Don't give options, because obviously, when you put up this hefty amount of 750, and then on the other side you say, you can give me 50 rand as a cold drink. You get it?
No, I get where your logic is trying to drive all of us. You are still an adult. There's no gun on your head. If the officer puts a gun on your head and forces you to pay them, and then you pay them, I would fully understand those circumstances. But in this instance, there's no gun in your head. They are proposing. You can easily say no. So you are equally accountable. Equally, despite who initiated it. If I call you right now, Maurice, and I say, Maurice, let's go and rob the bank right now. Let's go and rob the bank. Here's a gun. You can easily say no. Yeah. Now you can't then say Tabo initiated. Yes, he did. But you also have a responsibility. So I'm not buying into your argument of trying to push the responsibility on only on the initiator. Both of you would be complicit.
Yes.
Okay. And then, sorry, Maurice. Yeah, you wanted to say?
And then when it comes to the minister, the government officials, criminality, you see, as for me, I don't see a reason why it should be. For instance, the current Speaker of Parliament, who just got resigned from the Parliament, I don't see a reason why a person has been corrupting in terms of tenders, be given a bail. You understand? Because that's where the problem starts. Because you're not going to feel the consequences of being corrupt. Once you release that person, you understand, it becomes like that person is free out there.
Yeah.
Maurice,
the intention of bail is not to punish the accused. It is to make sure that the accused can be secured to come and attend and to an account to the court of law. The intention of bail is not correct. And in this instance, it was incumbent upon her to prove that if she's given bail, she will behave accordingly. And she did that successfully. So when you receive bail, you have not been found guilty as yet. I would understand if you're complaining about the sentence. She can still be found innocent, for all we know, to the dismay of others and many out there. She can still be found innocent. Everyone is innocent until proven otherwise, right? So she's not guilty as yet. She's an accused, and bail should not be used as punishment. I think that's very clear.
It's very clear, yes. Yeah. But then I think somehow the law is broken.
Let's talk about that on some other day. Maurice, really appreciate your call. Maurice in the south of Joburg, 10 minutes to 10 o'clock, 072-702-1702.
Morning, Thabo. Good show. Very interesting about the skaftin. I think people, they don't want to go home and cook. Must remember they got families that they left behind. and they don't want to enjoy any party on their own. So that is why they take captains for the family at home. I was at a lady's breakfast. I even saw a lady packing some of the stuff, the breakfast that we had, in a lunch tin. So I think it was for the family at home. Thank you, Thabo. Bye.
Morning, Thabo. It's Truly here. Oh, this captain thing, man. This captain thing is a big problem amongst our people. I don't understand why. Why, people? Why must you have this cafetina when people who have cooked and slaved to get you food to eat will be left with nothing to eat? I don't know. It's worse when it comes to a chicken and ama scones. Yo, you give people scones in a function. They don't even eat. They just immediately put it into their bags. What is this nonsense? I don't know why people do that. I ban bagiti again, please. You know, they will take his kaftina. You guys are left with nothing. Tomorrow morning, you want to eat. The pots are empty. I ban bagiti. Stop it. Stop it. This kaftin thing. It's too much now. Please stop it.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. I hope your message has landed very well in the ears that are willing to listen and understand. Why? It is selfish. It is very selfish. When you have been invited, just enjoy whatever is there, whatever you are given at the event. The food, the drinks, and everything else is meant to enhance the ambience, the atmosphere of being jovial, of being happy. It's not meant for you to pack it up and take it back at home. Before you leave, organize for whoever is left at home, whatever food that they may need later on. When you are there, it's just for you. Just for you. Skaftin culture must just go. It must fall. Skaftin culture. It's entitlement culture. 011-883-0702. Anita, hi. I'm getting heated up. Are you well? Anita.
Hello.
Hey, Anita.
Yes, good morning. How
Welcome.
Are you?
I'm free and heated up about the skaftin issue. How are you?
I'm very good. I shall enjoy you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
I'd like to suggest something. Do you know the only way we're going to stop corruption?
Mm.
If you are stopped at the road and they ask you for a bribe, you give it to them. At the same time, you ask for a receipt, because then that money is not theirs and it's neither yours. It has to go to government. And you know what? Most of the time, they're not even willing to give you a receipt. Then you say, well, let's go to the police station because I want a receipt for the money that I just paid.
Do you think they will give you a receipt? Because that would be admission of guilt right there and there.
Yes. But that's how we're going to stop it, on both sides. On both sides.
Anita, how about you saying, no, I can't give you a bribe? How about that? Isn't that a bit easier?
No, it is easier, but I mean, you know what? Yeah. You have to stop it at the root.
Yeah.
I'll pay you. This is not your money. It's not my money. I'm guilty, but I want a receipt.
Yeah.
They cannot give you a receipt because I have to take you to a police station. Then they leave you.
Well, that's one suggestion from Anita there. Let's hear what you have to say. Daniel, you are in for Ianacheng. Hi, morning.
Hi, Thabo. How are you?
I am free. Thank you for wanting to know. How are you?
I'm fine, Thabo. My comment is this. The traffic officers and the police, the way they coerce drivers to end up being corrupt or corrupting them, they sort of use coercive means whereby, I can give you an example of what happened some years ago. I was driving at night. These officers, police, they stopped me. Then they stopped me at night and say, you were over speeding. I said, show me my speed. I was over speeding. They told me and a speed thing didn't even have my number plate, but it was just showing the speed. I say, how do you even see at night that this car is over speeding? Because it's a line of cars. I had to stay there for an hour because they didn't want to release me.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I knew that they need money. They wanted me to corrupt them. I say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to pay anything until you prove that it's my car which was over speed.
Yes, yes.
And the other time, I was driving with some people. They've left their passports home. He say, where are the passports of these people? I say, they are at home.
Yes.
And then he says, no, I'm going to keep you. I'm arresting you. I say, let's go home and check for those passports.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go. He say, my brother, buy a cold drink. Do something.
Yeah.
I say, I can't buy a cold drink. I can't do anything. These people have got genuine papers. So they say you to you, park there, stay there.
And try to frustrate you.
So they are trying to frustrate you to end up saying, okay, here's a 50 run or whatever. Yeah. So I'm saying they try to coerce you by any means. The last one, Tabo, I was with my son. He was very young, few months old. And he was on the back, on the on child seat. I passed through a green robot, Tabo, very green robot. I could see my robot was green. He ran and stopped me aside. He said he passed through a red robot. I say, but it was green. He say, my brother, we have to go to court. We have to write you, take you to court. You have to go and prove to court that you didn't pass a red robot. I'm arresting you. And I was very frustrated, very angry. I was fuming. They made me stay for an hour before they released me. So those are the frustrations we sometimes make some drivers to give in and end up saying, okay,
yes, they just want to go. Because you just might be in a hurry, Daniel. 4 minutes to 10 o'clock, 0727021702.
Good day to you, Tabo. Sebastian here from El Dorado Park. I'm just sending a voice note. I just wanted to find out from any of the other listeners, did they hear the speech by John Steenhuisen on the weekend saying that the small parties are mercenaries and they will must not be allowed to campaign in the Western Cape. I don't know if I heard wrong, but I don't know when it now you have to be allowed to campaign. I just think John Steenhuisen is just being arrogant because, yes, every party is allowed to campaign wherever. Western Cape is not a separate country. Thanks, Tabo. Have a great day. Bye.
Hello, it's Zico Brandberg thinking that DA leader John Steenhuisen has signed his own death warrant as leader of the DA by making bitter enemies of the people who should be his closest allies in the Moonshot Initiative, which he wanted to lead against the ANC.
Well, I'm hoping the death warrant is metaphoric. I'm truly hoping for that because we can't be wishing that on anyone. If you're talking about his political career, completely it could be because, I mean, the name of the party is Democratic Alliance. Democratic being, which should be underscored in this instance. And we, if we were to go with democratic practices, whoever wants to campaign anywhere should be allowed to do so. And if you've been following South African politics for quite some time, you'd remember that when Julius Malema was the leader of the ANC Youth League back in the day, they went to Orania to put up posters there just to indicate a point that everyone should be allowed to campaign wherever they want to 2 to 10.